Alan Lima Yurid. He is the one who does what he wishes. It's his will which is supreme. He's actually running the show. Everything is done under his supervision because of the Qudrat and power and strength that he has given. Even, I gave you the example in last class, that even the Shimr, La'natullah alayh, who's slaughtering Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the power and Qudrat in the hand of this evil person is given by Allah. Allah is not taking the hand, the power and strength and Qudrat away, because this is the imtihan of Shimr, imtihan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, imtihan of the Shias of Kufa, to come and defend the Imam of their time, in the Hujjat of their time, which they are not doing. So if Allah takes the Qudrat away from the hand of Shimr, then there should be no Jannat and no Naar. Then the whole concept of imtihan would shatter. So basically, all the af'al are under his supervision. So we believe in Tawheed-e-Af'ali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we believe in Tawheed-e-Af'ali, it does not leave a room for any other person claiming that, well, I am the one who did this. You know, because one of the i'tiraz and objections made on the fact, on the inhisar of hamd in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hamd is munhasir and exclusively for Allah. One of the i'tirazat was this, that we have the hadith of the Holy Prophet saying that man lam yashkuril makhluq, lam yashkuril khaliq. This was the i'tiraz and objection done on the inhisar of hamd towards Allah. So here in this famous hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he says that whosoever is not grateful towards the makhluq, tashakkur towards makhluq, he is not grateful towards the khaliq. Now, how can you adjust this hadith with the inhisar of hamd? Here we are also being grateful towards the makhluq, which is other than Allah. So the response which is given by the scholars is that we believe in Tawheed of Ali. And when in our faith, in our Ilmul Kalam, we believe in Tawheed of Ali, all actions are actually run and executed under the supervision, under the Qudrat and power and ni'mat given by Allah. It does not leave the room for anyone to praise anything that he does good. Because every good thing that we do is actually done because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't leave a room for us. And now we were giving examples, and here our discussion stopped in the last class. So the examples I was giving was, look from the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 17. Surah Al-Anfal, ayat 17, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the enemies are basically, the people of Batil were killed by the Muslim soldiers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, not that you guys killed them, Allah is saying, I was the one who killed them. Surah Anfal, verse 17. فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ, you did not kill them. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ, instead, it was Allah who killed. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ, it was Allah who killed them. So that's what we believe in Tawheed of Ali. Allah is saying, actually it was the soldiers who were killing the Ahl Batil. But Allah is saying, you did not kill. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. Example number one. Now, the soldiers were of two different kinds. There were some who were humans, invisible, whereas some which were invisible, because they were angels sent by Allah in different battles on certain occasions. So, and that is in Surah At-Tawbah. For the invisible soldiers, you find in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 26, where again, another example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا lam tarauha. He sent soldiers or army men, lam tarauha, that you did not see. So he was the one who sent them and you did not see. Soldiers were also of two kinds, but actually it was him who sent them. And also when talking about, also when talking to the Holy Prophet, and that is from, you know, also from Surah Al-Anfal, where Allah says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ. And Prophet threw those, you know, towards the kuffar, and they became blind, they could not see. And then at the time of Hijrat and migration from Makkah towards Medina, Prophet took some soil and threw towards the kuffar, and they became basically blind towards Prophet. They couldn't see. Prophet walked freely in front of them towards Medina. So Allah says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ, you did not throw. Is رَمَيْتَ, when you threw. When you threw, it was not you who threw that. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Actually, instead, it was Allah who threw. Example number three, which is again proving the Tawheed of Ali. And in Islam, we don't have any room for anybody claiming anything for himself, anything good that he did himself, this is mine. Well, it's all given by Allah. Every goodness is from Allah. He believed in Tawheed of Ali. Every fail returns back to him. Example number three, he says to the Holy Prophet, you did not throw, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ, when you threw. When you threw, it was you, not you who threw it. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Actually, instead it was Allah who threw that. And at the end, when the example number four, finally, finally we find the zalimeen and oppressors got rooted out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again does not pray the Muslim soldiers. Instead, he prays himself in Holy Quran, and that is Surah Al-An'am, verse number 45. Surah Al-An'am, verse 45. Allah does not pray the Muslim soldiers. He is praising himself. Does not praise the Muslim soldiers. فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. So, basically, the Zalim nation got rooted out. فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And all the praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the Alameen. He does not say all the praise belongs to the Muslim soldiers who did the job. He did not say that. He said that the Zalim nation were rooted out. قُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. All the praise belongs to Allah. So actually, there is no room for anybody to claim, I did that. Now, the second, so basically, this is all the answer of the objection when we talk about the inhisar of hamd. Hamd is munhasir for Allah. The first objection was done through this hadith of the Holy Prophet, and we are answering the possible objection from the people. Second objection was raised by using certain ayat. Shall I erase?
Yes.
Okay. So, in some of the ayat of Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like in Surah A'raf, verse number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون. So they were called that you know, basically this is the paradise given to you to inherit for what you used to do. Because of our amal, this paradise is, they will be called in the day of judgment, they will be called that this is the paradise given to you to inherit for the sake of what you used to do, for the sake of your amal. So now some of the second objection comes from this ayat, that well, because of the good deeds that the people have done, they have been awarded with these awards. So basically, when they are awarded, don't they deserve to be praised? Likewise, another ayat which is used by some people to stage an objection on the inhisar of hamd for Allah, they say in the second ayat of Holy Quran, and this one is from Surah At-Tawbah, verse 111. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allah ishtara." من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم لأن لهم الجنة So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has basically ishtara, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth, their money, because paradise belongs to them, in other words. So basically, for paradise to be theirs, Allah has purchased from the mu'mineen, from the believers, their lives and their money. So basically, this is also used to basically support the i'tiraf that, well, when Allah has purchased them, their lives and their money, basically, we can praise them also. And also, the third ayat of Holy... I will come to the answer. Let me first finish the objection. The third ayat which is used for objection is, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. That is Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 11. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ Who is the one who loans to Allah a good loan? قَرْضًا حَسَنًا Islam has the phenomena of قَرْضًا حَسَنًا So basically, here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, in other words, asking who can loan to Allah the qardan hasanan. So those people who loan, they deserve to be praised also. And so the answer given about all these three verses of Holy Quran is that, well, it doesn't mean that they deserve to be praised. What these verses of Holy Quran are actually used for tashweeq and targheeb and tashjeer of the people, you know, for encouraging them. These are for the sake of tashweeq and encouragement. I remember, you know, my teacher, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Jawad Tabrizi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Bahth-e Kharij, he was saying that no person is supposed to claim, is supposed to oblige Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the reward for any good deed on the day of judgment. Why? Because all the wajibat and all the muharramat in the shar are for our own benefit. There is no naf or benefit for Allah if we take care of these duties, and there is no harm for Allah if we ignore these duties. So basically, why we can oblige Allah to give reward for our good deeds? Did he gain anything out of it? Why should he give any reward to us? Yes, he's going to give the reward. Not because he's obliged to. He will give the reward because he has promised in the Holy Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah la yukhliful mi'ad. Allah does not breach his promise. Because he has promised in the Holy Quran that he will give all those rewards, that's the reason why he will give the rewards for our good deeds. But not because we can oblige him, you have to give it to him. Why he has to? You did a good job, you did wajibat, all those things, you take care of the muharramat. All the benefit was for yourself, not for Allah. So no one can oblige Allah to do anything. Allah doesn't have the haqq of anyone on him. Everybody has Allah's haqq on them, on him, but Allah does not have any haqq on him from anybody. So basically, because anything doesn't belong to anybody. The reason why no one has any haqq on Allah, because no one has anything in his milkiyat and possession. Can anybody claim that this is my milkiyat, this is mine? Anything that you find, can you claim this is mine? Again, there is no room in Islam for anyone to come up and claim anything is mine. Here are some verses of Holy Quran I will mention to realize the milkiyat al-mutlaqa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has the absolute milkiyat and possession and control and ownership of everything. Look at Surah Al-Imran. Verse number 189. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah has the kingdom, empire. Mulk means the kingdom. The whole empire of the heavens and earth belongs to him. It's his. Nobody can claim it's mine. Anything of it is mine. It's Allah. Everything it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another verse of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah 116. Surah Al-Baqarah. Verse 116, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Another version of him telling us about that everything belongs to Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And also in Surah Yunus, verse number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Is there anyone who owns the vision, the hearing and the vision? أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ. Is there anybody who owns? Who is the owner? أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Yeah, so nobody owns. And finally, also, that's why our Urafa say that basically everything is perfectly designed by Allah to serve as His soldier of divine army, because Allah has said in Holy Quran that Lillahi Junud as-samawati wal-ard. Allah has the armies of heavens and earth. Allah has junud as-samawati wal-ard. Allah has the army of heavens and earth. So basically, everything is jundullah. Everything is the soldier of Allah. You see, just like Imam Ridwanullah alayhi said about the Tabas incident, and Tabas incident happened, you know, he said the particles of the sand in the Tabas desert. move, they were commanded by Allah to do the assigned job. So لِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Even the particles of sand are also part of Allah's army. Everything, every single minutest existence is doing its assigned job according to the divine phenomena and command and wisdom. Now, when Allah is asking us, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يُقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, don't consider that Allah stands in need and He's asking the loan. We have the khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam from Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَلَمْ يَسْتَنْصِرْكُمْ من ذل ولم يستقرضكم من قل وَلَمْ يَسْتَقْرِضْكُمْ مِنْ قُلٍّ إِسْتَنْصَرَكُمْ وَلَهُ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. إِسْتَنْصَرَكُمْ وَلَهُ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then Imam Ali al-Islam says, وَاسْتَقْرَضَكُمْ. Let me first write it down, then I will explain it. وَاسْتَقْرَضَكُمْ وَلَهُ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And then finally Imam Ali al-Islam says, وَإِنَّمَا أَرَادَ أَن يَبْلُوَكُمْ. أيكم أحسن عملا. استنصركم وله جنود السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز وَاسْتَنْصَرَكُمْ وَاسْتَقْرَضَكُمْ وَلَهُ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. وَإِنَّمَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So here Imam Ali alayhi salam, that is khutbah number 183. If you want to note down Nahj al-Balagha khutbah 183. So here he says that we were talking about Allah is asking the people, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يُقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who can loan the قَرْضًا حَسَنًا to Allah? You know, the good loan. So, when we loan to the people, we don't demand interest from them. Help them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have tawakkul that Allah will increase our, give barakah to our money, and you know, it's not for the sake of gaining interest. We'll gain the interest there from Allah, inshallah. So Imam Ali al-Islam says, Lam yastansirkum min dhullin. He is not seeking your help from zillat and disrespect. When we human beings, we seek nusrat from anybody, we are zaleel. We want to get aziz and honor. We want to get out of the situation of zillat, so we seek help. So whereas when Allah is seeking help from you, He is not seeking from the condition of zillat. He doesn't have no zillat. He is aziz. وَلَمْ يَسْتَقْرِضْكُمْ مِنْ قُلْ. And He did not seek the loan from you out of decrease. You know, either He has something less or qaleel, and He is asking you so that the less becomes more. This is not the case. اِسْتَنْصَرَكُمْ. He asked you for help. وَلَهُ جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When at the time when He has all the armies and soldiers of the heavens and earth in His control, and every, I explained to you already, every particle of the universe is part of His army and His junood. So despite the fact He owns everything, but He still is seeking your help. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Seek helping Allah is not helping Allah, it's helping the Islam, helping the religion of Allah. Allah doesn't need. He has the junood of the heavens and earth. But this is our test, how much we help Islam. وَاسْتَقْرَضَكُمْ. And He seek qard and loan from you. وَلَهُ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. While He has the treasures of heavens and earth. And this is mudaf al-jam' in Arabic. According to the grammar, when the mudaf is plural, it means all-inclusive. So basically, what we understand in the light of this statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the treasures of heavens and earth. وَلَهُ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He has all the treasures of heavens and earth. وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. And He is the Ghani and Hamid. وَإِنَّمَا. Then why did He do that? Why is He asking for our help? He doesn't stand in need. He has all the treasures, but He is still seeking the qarz and loan from us. إِنَّمَا أَرَادَ. All He wills when He is doing this, all He is willing is أَنْ يَبْلُوَكُمْ. To test you. So it's for the sake of testing you people. Not that Allah stands in need. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَنَا. Testing about what? Testing about the fact that which one among you has the best quality of the amal. Not the not about the about the kasrat of amal, which is not at all a point in Islam, you know, it's about the quality of amal. Remember when Imam Ali alayhi salam wrote a letter to Muawiyah, and he said, Amma ba'd, fa'innallaha subhanahu, qad dunya, qad ja'ala dunya lima ba'daha wa ja'ala fiha ahlaha liyubtala biha. Qad ibtalana Allahu bika wa ibtalaka bi. فَجَعَلَ أَحَدَنَا حُجَّةً عَلَى الْآخَرِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this dunya for the sake of the stage which is after this dunya. So so Allah has tested you through me. It's the imtihan of Muawiyah through Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Allah tested Imam Ali alayhi salam through Muawiyah. So everybody is tested with each other. How do we behave towards each other? فَجَعَلَ أَحَدَنَا حُجَّةً عَلَى الْآخَرِ. So Allah made each one of us a hujjat against the other. So tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, He has no excuse to furnish. There was nobody to tell, there was nobody to guide, nobody to inform me what I was supposed to do and what I was not supposed to do. He has no excuse and hujjat remaining in His hand to furnish before Allah. So all Allah is asked is trying to do, He doesn't stand in need. It's about yabluwakum, to test us, to test you. Ayyukum ahsanu amala. See how He has mentioned in the Holy Quran that هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He is the one who created the death and life. So he can test أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who is the best in the actions. Not أَيُّكُمْ أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. The hadith says that Allah did not say أَيُّكُمْ أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. He created the death and life so that he can test you who has more of the amal. No. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who has the best of the amal. Best in terms of the quality. Best quality of amal we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salam, you know, they had a limited life in this dunya. Every human has a limited life. It's not unlimited. You cannot meet everybody on the face of earth. You cannot do good behavior towards every single human on the face of earth. This is beyond your reach, and this is not even your taklif sharfi. But they are part of every sawab, every good deed done by every human on earth. Why? Because of the ikhlas of the amal, and because of the fact that they were wasitatul faiz for all the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the anbiya and all the mursaleen and all the shuhada and awsiya and siddiqeen and saliheen, whatever they do on the face of earth since the beginning till the end, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are part of their thawab. That is one of the reasons, maybe is because of the quality of the a'mal that they have done. You know, innama nut'imukum li wajhi Allah, la nuridu minkum jaza'an wa la shukura. So we are feeding you, you know, for the sake of the wajh of Allah. We don't need any jaza, any reward from you. Wa la shukura. We don't want you to be grateful towards us. This is the level of their ikhlas. So basically, Rububiyyat al-Mutlaqa that we were talking about, which is the third daleel for the inhisar of hamd in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Rububiyyat of Allah, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the absolute Rububiyyat, taking every mawjood towards its kamal al-munasib, its appropriate kamal, this is done by no one other than Allah. So he deserves to be praised, and that is the third dalil about that. And this rububiyyat is actually, ijad and insha of rabt and rawabit and alaiq bain al kamal wal mustakmil. Kamal al-mutlaq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mustakmil are the creatures. The creatures are mustakmil. They are seeking the kamal, and they all want to reach the kamal al-mutlaq, which is Allah. So this rububiyyat is the link. Let me write it down. So kamal al-mutlaq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mustakmil, those who are seeking the kamal among the creatures. The creatures. So this rububiyyat is basically, this rububiyyat is the rawabit and alaiq and the links between the mustakmil and the kamal al-mutlaq. This is what Rububiyyat is all about. It makes the link between Kamal al-Mutlaq and Mustakmil. And all those people who are seeking Kamal are every moment of their life when they are moving towards the Kamal further and further and further, this whole process of reaching towards and moving towards and getting elevated towards the Kamal al-Ma'nawi, the Ma'nawi and Ruhani Kamal, this requires the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. also, we have, I think, 5-7 more minutes. We also need to learn about the Maqamul Hamd. Hamd is a very, very high level that, you know, is not given to everybody. So, we have the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he has said, أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, the first one who will be called towards the paradise, Al-Hammadun. Al-Ladina Yahmaduna, Yahmadun Allah, السراء والضراء. And that is from Bihar Anwar, volume 90. Page number 215. So Prophet has said sallallahu alaihi wa sallam that first one who will be called towards the paradise are the Hammadun. These category of people are the ones who will be called to go into the paradise first and ahead of everyone else. Alladhina Hammadun is the siga. Hammad is the siga of mubalagha. Somebody, literally speaking, somebody who performs the hamd a lot. He's called Hamad in Arabic. If you perform the hamd, you are called Hamid. But if you perform the hamd of Allah a lot, you are called Hamad. Hamadun, those people who used to perform the hamd of Allah a lot. Alladhina yahmadun Allah, those who used to, who praise Allah, fis-sara'i wa-dharra'i, in the happy times and in the times of pain and harm and sorrow. When you are in times of pain and you are not happy, still you remember Allah and you praise God in all times. Whether you are in bala or you are in raha and happiness and surur and happy times or sad times, good times or bad times, in all situations you do the hamd of Allah. This category of people will be the first who will enter the paradise, Prophet said. And also, so we are talking about the Maqamul Hamd. That means Maqam and Manzilat of Hamd in the eyes of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. And also, in another hadith, it is, you know, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam has said that لو أن الدنيا, this is for us to understand how great the concept of hamd is, how much important it is in the eyes of Allah and the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. لو أن الدنيا كلها لقمة واحدة لقمة واحدة فأكلها العبد المسلم مقال الحمد لله لكان قول ذلك لكان قوله لكان قوله ذلك خيرا من الدنيا وما فيها. This gives you an idea of how much great the concept of hamd is. We are talking about Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We need to understand the maqam of hamd. Law anna dunya, if the kullaha, if the entire world is a luqma, one luqma. Fa akalaha al-abdul muslim, and a Muslim first servant, he eats that. He consumed the whole world as a luqma. Thumma qal alhamdulillah. And then after that he says alhamdulillah. Lakana qawluhu dhalika, his statement of alhamdulillah is better than the whole dunya and all what is in it. Can you put the price tag for this one sentence? What is the price of that one sentence? Alhamdulillah. $1 million? No. He says, Imam Sajjad says, Dunya kullaha. $1 billion value of Alhamdulillah? No. $1 trillion? No. Dunya kullaha. The whole world. You cannot put a price for the sentence, Alhamdulillah. Has no price. Isn't that right? The whole dunya is not enough for the price of Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we will continue in the next class.